Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Good evening, everyone. Possible that I won't be able to allow you to read the scriptures I'm talking about on the screen, but that's okay. It's on a podcast. You can watch it back. You can write them down. But if you're going to take notes, I would urge you just to write down a scripture reference and then listen to the words and go back and read it for yourself later. Everybody okay with that? Thank you. The name of this message is called The Great I Am. The Great I Am. Pastor Gary has been leading us on a journey that he himself is taking, and that he's inviting us, and we're kind of drafting on his coattails on this journey with him to get to know God more intimately, to be able to hear his voice. And I thought I just want to share that I've been learning myself about who God really is for us. And it just comes right out of Scripture. It's not my opinion. And the first Scripture is in Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' then they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" By identifying himself as I am, God is revealing his character and his attributes, reinforcing the notion that it's not Moses who's going to deliver the people, but God himself. And his name is related to the Hebrew verb to be. To be. It's a present and perfect tense of to be. And what he's really doing is testifying to his own existence. We know that in Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Without faith it's impossible to," or "faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen." And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God, because those who come to him must believe that he is," or that he exists, "and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And in Acts 17, verse 28, the Apostle Paul wrote that it's in him that we live and move and have our very being. And the Hebrew word to be is where we get the English term for God, Yahweh or Jehovah. That's what it comes from the Hebrew for the word to be. I remember being in a Bible study with other pastors and leaders years ago, and we were going through this chapter in Exodus, and the question was given to each of us: what does it mean when God says that his name is I Am? And so I went home and asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to me, what does that mean? And he led me to the Gospel of John, where Jesus proclaims seven different I Ams in the Gospel of John. And so I'd like to go through those with us right now. And in the first one is in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 35, John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Then in verse 41, he said it again, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And in 48 and 49, he explains it a little more. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. But this bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. Well, you know, the manna in the wilderness for the Israelites was a test. They would only get enough manna each day for each person to have an allotted amount for that day. And they had to trust that God would provide enough manna for the next day and the day after. It was God saying to the Israelites, will you trust me? They couldn't hoard it. If they tried to keep more than they could eat that day, it would go rotten immediately. And so, you know, Jesus, by saying, I'm the manna, I'm like the bread that came down from heaven, he's telling us that we need to trust in him and that his mercy and his forgiveness and his life and his love is new every day. And we need to seek him first. He said, when the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray, he said, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he said, give us this day our daily bread. But he wasn't talking about bread that you bake in the oven and take out and eat. He's talking about us being dependent on him to meet all our needs. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added unto you. Your Father already knows what you need. You don't have to continually ask him for things. Just seek him. We need to have a personal relationship with the Lord, and we need to trust in him. We did a lot of study on Proverbs chapter 3. Those of you who have been here on Wednesday nights, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life which came up down from heaven, when you eat of me, you won't be hungry. When you drink the water I give you, you won't thirst. He's talking about spiritual food and spiritual thirst. And he can satisfy that. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it opened their eyes and they were able to become self-sufficient. But in doing so, they died spiritually. God said, if you eat of it, you'll surely die. But he didn't mean die and cease to exist. He meant die in a spiritual sense. You won't be able to commune with me anymore. We won't be one like we have been. That was lost at that time. The whole purpose of Jesus coming was to help us regain that. That's why he had to come as a man. He had to be born of a virgin, the seed of a woman, but it had to be a virgin because in her there was no sin. Remember, even King David in Psalm 51 said, in sin I was conceived, in iniquity I was brought into the world. But Jesus, that wasn't so for him. His father, the male seed that was produced, that impregnated Mary, was the Holy Spirit sent by the Father to cause Jesus to be born in the world. And I've got a little news for you. I mentioned the scripture in Acts 17:28. In him we live and move and we have our very being, Paul said. Well, before he even created the world, every person, every living spiritual being who was ever going to be born, had their life and their being inside the Father. He chooses the time of your birth. He knits you together in your mother's womb, it says in Psalm 139. He knew you before you were born. He predestined you for things that would happen in your life. And what happens is when your mom and dad conceived you, at the moment of that union, that conception took place, the Holy Spirit had been dispatched with the spiritual entity, your spirit man, and it was knitted together with that tiny little embryo and grew into you in your mother's womb. Life begins at conception. There is no doubt about that. Anyone who says a baby isn't a baby until after it's born is it's a lie of the devil. It's just an excuse to try and do things that they want to do that are anti-God. So the same thing was true of Jesus in that way. His innermost being, his spirit man, was placed in the embryo that was a combination of a ovum from Mary and the seed of the Holy Spirit, and he grew in her womb a human baby and was born just like we are. And he lived his whole life on earth as a human being. Yes, he was God. Yes, he had a special connection to his Father. But he was also fully human. He had to be fully human in order to take back dominion from Satan and bring us back into right standing with God. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. The bread that Jesus gives us, it's about trust, and it's about relying on him for all of our real spiritual needs and not trying to do things on our own. The next I am that he declared in the Gospel of John is in John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then now, when he said this, it was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem and on the Jewish calendar just ended in the past few days. And on the last day of that great feast in Jerusalem, they would take six giant golden candelabras, and they would have a huge cauldron at the top filled with oil, and they had to use giant ladders, the priests had to climb up and light them. And they were on the Temple Mount, and they could be seen all over Jerusalem, and Jerusalem truly became a city on a hill glowing with light. Well, Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. And he was saying that he's the fulfillment of that feast in a way. And he did the same thing when he said, ask of me and I'll give you living water, and out of your belly, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. He was talking about the Spirit that he was going to give us that would enable us to give away spiritual authority and power to people that we carry inside of us. In John 9, verse 5, again he repeats, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And in chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said again, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." As a disciple of Jesus and a born-again believer, and if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have an anointing and an authority that you carry inside of you that you can release to bless people when you pray for them. And we're supposed to be recognizable as different from other people in the world. And that's a challenge for the church right now, because it's been traditionally anything but in this day and age. But that doesn't mean we have to be like the church at large. We can be special. We can be closer to the Lord. We can believe what the Bible says about us. We can cultivate that relationship. We can ask for more anointing, more authority, and more ways to bless people and glorify God. And those are the kind of prayers that the Lord likes to answer. It says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. But what it really means is, if you ask anything in accordance with who I am and what I'm planning, I'll do it. But how would you know who he is and what he's planning if you don't have that intimate relationship with him? You're not hearing his voice, and you're not spending time in his word, and you're not really, really, truly getting to know him. So, and then in John 13:17, it said, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Can you go to the next part? Keep going. It's all right, I'll do it. This is right after John 3:16. This is John 17-21. He who believes in him is not condemned. That means God's son. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and it does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And in the Gospel of John, the very first chapter, the first few verses, Jesus said, or John wrote, that in him was light, and the light was the life of men. So when he said, I am the light of the world, he said, I'm the one who gives you life. I'm the one who makes you shine and stand out from other people because of your faith in me. And when the disciples asked him, what must we do that we may do the works of God? He said, believe in the one that he sent. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he sent. Okay. So, moving on to John chapter 10 and verses 7 through 10. Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. I am the door. Wow. The door was the place in the fenced-off pasture area where the sheep were at night, where the shepherd would lay his body to protect them from any predators coming in or anyone coming to try and steal. And so that's one image of what it means to be the door. But there's other things that I've gleaned from that proclamation that I am the door. In the Old Testament prophet Hosea, the second chapter in the 15th verse, the Lord promised that he would give Israel a door of hope in the valley of Achor. And Achor in Hebrew means trouble. So Jesus is the door that comes when we're at our lowest point in our valley of our most trouble and gives us a way to be redeemed out of it and hope. In Romans chapter 5, Paul wrote that we have a hope that doesn't disappoint. This hope we have in Jesus will never disappoint us. And in Hebrews chapter 6, it says that this hope is an anchor for your soul. So when Jesus said, I am the door, he's saying, as he said in Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we need to, what we did is we answered the call that he placed on us and we let him come in. And he became a door to his kingdom and a door to his royal, his heavenly family. And now we have the right to be called children of the living God. And we have an inheritance in heaven. And we actually are called his inheritance also. His inheritance is in us, and our inheritance is in him. The next I am is right after it. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 10, verse 11. And in 27 through 29, he went on to say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Isn't it comforting to know that when you give your heart to Jesus, no one can steal you away from him, no matter what? And Paul wrote in Romans that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that no matter what happens, what circumstances we face in life, they're just a minor inconvenience compared to the all-surpassing knowledge of Christ and him crucified and what it means to have everlasting life with him. And of course, we all know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's a lot of promises that come with allowing the Lord to be your shepherd. He is your shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives up his life to protect the sheep. David said, when he was arguing with King Saul about going out to kill Goliath, I fought the lion and I fought the bear when they came for my father's sheep, and I defeated them, and I can defeat this uncircumcised Philistine too. Because he trusted in God, he knew who he was in God, and he knew that he was a covenant person with God, and in God's covenant he was victorious. And our Bible tells us that thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15 and in 2 Corinthians 2, it says, God always leads us to triumph through Christ Jesus. So we see the circumstances that are in the world right now, and things sometimes look dark and dire. But what I do in my personal life is I celebrate because I know I'm on the winning team, rather than later, I believe. And in that higher, greater reality, God is going to expose all the lies, all the wickedness, all the truth of what's been happening, and make it right by bringing his judgment and his justice to those who are perpetrators. And I also believe that what the Bible has promised is that that will lead to a transfer of wealth from the wicked to the righteous. So it's a good time to think about celebrating rather than being scared or in fear, because you're on the winning team. And God is going to be victorious, and he's going to do it in a way that people know it was him, and no human being can take credit for it. He's jealous that way. He wants the honor and the glory to go where it is deserved, and that's with him, and not on any person. He'll use people, and he'll call people, and he'll have assignments for people, and they will do wonderful and awesome things. But it's always to reflect on God and not on us. If you're doing things to enhance your own image, you're doing them for the wrong motivation. What you should be doing is doing things in a way that helps you be invisible and people to see Jesus. Remember, in him we live and move and have our being. Well, that's four of the seven I Ams from the Gospel of John. Let's go to John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said, he's talking to Martha now, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" I'll ask you the same thing. Do you believe this? I mean, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single most important event in the Bible and in the history of the world. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, but just stop and take that in for a minute. Everyone repeat with me. The resurrection of Jesus is the single most important event in the history of the world. Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, God. In John 3:16, it said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And now, by Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and the life, whoever believes in me will never die," he's truly identifying himself as the Son of God and the Messiah. People were constantly asking him, "If you're the one, just tell us, come out and tell us." He said, "I've been telling you every way I know how, and you don't believe me. But you say that you're a child of Abraham, but Abraham, if he was here, he'd believe me because he trusted in God. Since you can't hear my words and receive them, maybe your real father is Satan, God." He said that to the highest religious leaders in the land, and it was true. They were worshiping their system of traditional prayers and sacrifices and the law instead of God. And when the Son of God came and stood right in front of them and said who he was, they couldn't believe it. And there's people now in our world who have been so indoctrinated by the lies that they've heard on the mainstream media and even in churches and on TV, that when the truth comes before them, they won't receive it. They won't even believe it. And that's why we have to be there to help them see and receive the truth and be light bearers and guide them to the one hope that they have left, and that's Jesus. And that's what our role is going to be moving forward. And this is all preparation for stepping into that role. And there's no age limit. There's no physical limit. If you can walk and talk, or even if you can't walk, but you can still talk and reach out to people, you can be an ambassador for Christ at any age. We have to take it seriously. Now turn to John 14, verse 6, something we all know. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, not many people might have heard this, but in the tabernacle in the wilderness, you know, there was an outer court where the brazen altar was, and the people came to give sacrifices. And then in the inner room called the holy place, there was a table of showbread, incense, and a place in between the outer court and the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was, and only the high priest could go in there once a year on Yom Kippur. And the outer court was known as the Way, the holy place was known as the Truth, and the Holy of Holies was known as the Life. So when Jesus said, I am the Way, the Truth, and the Life, he's saying, I'm the human embodiment of the tabernacle in the wilderness that you've read about all your life. I'm the one who's fulfilling that in your presence. He was also saying that by saying I'm the way, he means I'm the way to the Father. By saying he's the truth, he's saying I'm the truth about God. And by saying he's the life, he's saying that he came to give us the life of God. So he's the way to the Father, the truth about everything that is God, and the life of God that he brings to us. And when he says that we'll have eternal life if we believe in him, it doesn't just mean in heaven and eternity, it's life now. He said the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so you may have life and life abundantly. So his eternal life starts the minute you accept him and invite him into your heart. And it only grows from there once you become filled with the Holy Spirit. You get into his word and you start growing in your faith and in your knowledge of him. Then that is the way that we learn about and become more like God and have the life of God flowing through our life every day. The last I am in the Gospel of John is in John 15, starting in verse 1. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Skipping down to verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and you will be my disciples. Abiding in Jesus means to camp out, live your life with, in, and through him, and invite him to live his life in and through you. And in verse 16 of John 15, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. Jane, before we were married, was told by the Lord that the purpose for her still being here is to bear fruit, spiritual fruit. Because she came to a place where she thought, well, maybe it's time for me just to go home and be with the Lord. And he said, no, I need you here because you're going to bear fruit. And that's what we're about. We're always trying to find different ways to bear spiritual fruit, touch people's lives, make a difference in as many people as possible that we can. And that's what all of us are called to do. If we're not bearing fruit, we might be that branch that the Father wants to come and prune and trim off, and I don't want that to happen to anyone. When Jesus and the Lord to Moses, I said that the holy covenant name of God is I Am. I want you to think of this. If you're depressed, look to the cross and see I Am depressed on the cross for you. If you're injured or fighting with pain, look to the cross and see I Am injured and bearing your pain on the cross for you. If you're going, whatever you're going through, picture Jesus hanging on the cross, bearing what you're going through there. He took all of those things so we wouldn't have to bear them. If you feel rejected, see I Am rejected on the cross. But it doesn't stop there, because if we can identify with his death and burial, then we can also identify with his resurrection. And on the third day, we can see the open tomb and we can look up and we can identify with I Am, back to life, glorified and going to be with the Father, which is our destiny. And our life is going to be with him ultimately. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your revealing yourself to us. And I thank you that the more we get to know you, the more fruitful we can become, and the more we can reflect Jesus to the world. Remember, in Colossians chapter 1, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Thank you. God bless you all.